So in talking to Nicodemus, Jesus has been very clear. Sinners must be born again. If they are to have eternal life, to enter the kingdom of God, they must be born again. And Jesus has said that the Father sent him into the world to bring that life, not to condemn the world, not to bring judgment, but to save it. And those who believe on the Son, on Jesus the Christ, have life. And those who do not believe, Jesus says, stand condemned under judgment. Well, as Jesus continues his conversation with Nicodemus, he deals with the question of why do some people not believe? Why do they choose error rather than truth? Believing in Christ seems to be such a simple thing to do, doesn't it? Why won't sinners trust in Christ that they might have life? Jesus says, verse 19, this is the condemnation. There's a reason, and it's not an arbitrary judgment or whim of God. Rather, it is the working out of the moral law. Here is why those who do not believe are condemned. The light has come into the world. There's many ways for us to understand light. We can understand light in the literal sense, that is, sunshine, or a lamp that's turned on. Literal light. It's interesting, a lot of evil takes place in the dark, because the physical, literal darkness helps to cover sin. We can also understand light in the figurative sense. That is, in the sense of truth, in the sense of that which is good, in contrast to the darkness of evil. Now, what's interesting is Jesus is light in both of these senses. Maybe you haven't thought about this, but Jesus is physical light. This was seen, for example, at the Mount of Transfiguration. Revelation 21:23 tells us that in heaven there will be no sun, because the Lamb is the light. Just like in Genesis 1, before the sun was created, there was light from God. But Christ is also light in the figurative sense. It's interesting, Jesus uses a definite article. He is the light. He is not a light. He is the light, the one and only light, the true light. In contrast to all other propositions of truth, he is the light. In John 1, we looked at this a number of months ago, verse 4 and verse 9, Jesus says, in him was life, or John says rather, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Later in John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is the light in the moral darkness of the world. He shows forth the glories and the perfections, the holiness of God the Father. Jesus alone is sinless, perfect in goodness, absolute in holiness, unchanging in character. And it is Christ who is the light in the sense of eternal truth, and who gives to us clarity about all things. True light and truth come from God, and they come from God directly, as in the person of Jesus Christ. They also come indirectly. So, for example, the scriptures our light and God's truth. One example of this, and there are many, but Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The gospel is light. It shows forth Christ. Paul says to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's speaking of the ungodly whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. Believers, Christians, are light. Well, at least we are supposed to be light. We're called to be light, to reflect Christ. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, the great Sermon on the Mount, the ethics of the kingdom. This is how Christians are to live and think. Jesus said to his disciples, to us, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came into the world. And how did the world respond? Well, Jesus says, men love darkness rather than light. The world loved the darkness, rejected the light, rejected the truth. Specifically, they rejected Christ. They rejected him as a person, mocked his birth, rejected his testimony, and eventually killed him, hating and killing the only good man to ever live. They rejected moral light, goodness, and truth. By the way, that was the history of Israel. As you read through the Old Testament, God sends his prophets again and again, and they're rejected, they're killed, they're murdered, they're stoned, they're driven from town. Instead, they embraced moral and spiritual darkness. It's interesting, just before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed in Matthew 22. 3 records some of his prayer. It's, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stoneth them which are sent to thee. Why would they do such a thing? Solomon characterized darkness as the way of evil men. Proverbs 2:13, for those who leave the paths of uprightness, or light, or truth, to walk in the ways of darkness. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Paul uses similar language about rebellion against God. Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, Paul writes. The day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And Jesus says this is their condemnation. They love the darkness rather than the light. It's hard to understand, isn't it? How can people prefer evil to that which is good and right? How can they love the faults and the lies of Satan rather than the truth? How can they love Satan rather than Christ? This is what was going on in Jesus' day. The Jewish religious leaders loved the legalism of their law. They love their own efforts at self-righteousness. It fed their pride. I have done this. The Gentiles, on the other hand, love their superstitious worship of idols and their immorality. But we think to ourselves, we're more sophisticated than all of that. We're educated. We have degrees. We're moral. We condemn the wicked slave owners of the past, or the people of Salem who executed those that were supposed to be witches. And yet today, with government and business approval, we kill infants just before their birth. Medical doctors are mutilating children and through surgery and drugs trying to turn little boys into little girls. It's rebellion against the Creator. It's evil, pure evil. It is darkness. We might be technologically advanced, and it's mind-boggling, our technology today. But sinners the world over still today love the darkness. And we do not want light upon our lives. It is said that an architect came to Plato, the ancient Greek philosopher, and offered to build him a house where you could not see into any room. And Plato is said to have responded, "I will give you double the money to build a house you can see into every room." See, we want windowless rooms because our deeds, Jesus says, are evil. We want rooms that no one can see into because we love the darkness. All around us, creation witnesses of the light of the Creator. In fact, Scripture says the witness of creation and the Creator is so strong, so clear, that sinners who reject the light and embrace the darkness are without excuse. The reason sinners will not receive the light of God is not because of intellectual issues. It's not because of education or lack of education or technology. It's not because we have not made a clear enough presentation of the gospel. Jesus says it's because they have hearts that love darkness. They will not forsake the sin and evil that they love. They are determined to hang on to the works of darkness. And therefore, Jesus says in John 5:40, "You are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Bishop J.C. Ryle, just an aside, if you have not heard of Bishop J.C. Ryle, I'm not overly surprised. He was a minister in the late 1800s, that's when he wrote, and he wrote just some excellent things. His book on holiness is tremendous. And he wrote over 100 years ago, and yet his writing is readable and understandable. It's like he wrote it yesterday. I would highly commend anything that J.C. Ryle wrote. But this is what he wrote that relates to the message. "There are very few errors and false doctrines of which the beginning may not be traced up to unsound views about the corruption of human nature." And what he's talking about is the denial of sin nature, of original sin, that we are born sinners. We are born dead in sin, alienated from God. So put another way, what Jesus is teaching here is that the unbeliever is spiritually dead in sin and unable to please God. Loving the darkness rather than the light. hating the light that brings life and liberty. This depravity of heart and soul is a foundational doctrine. If you miss on this important doctrine that Jesus is teaching here and elsewhere, it will corrupt your whole understanding of biblical truth. It will send you down the paths of error. The Westminster Confession of Faith says this: from this original corruption, whereby we are utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite to all good, and wholly inclined to all evil, do proceed all actual transgressions. That is, we are born with a sin nature, and when we have choices to make, we choose to transgress God's commandments willfully, arrogantly, flagrantly. Jesus adds they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. This word deeds is simply a word for works, their activities. Evil that Jesus, the word evil that Jesus uses here is not the word for moral evil like murder. Rather, it's a word for that which is bad or worthless. So what are evil deeds in this sense? And we think to ourselves as we hear the words of Jesus, as we read in Galatians 5, oh, murder and robbery and adultery. But Jesus is talking to a ruler of Israel, a moral and a righteous man who has faithfully kept the law. And yet, Jesus includes Nicodemus in this description. In this regard, it's also interesting to note that these moral, religious leaders of Israel who kept the law showed their true nature, the true darkness of their souls when their authority and power were threatened by Christ. What did they do? They actively sought to murder him. And they worked through the Roman government and eventually accomplished it. What Jesus is saying is that a person's attitude toward him, the light of the world, truth, eternal verity, infallibly reveals a person's innermost moral and spiritual character. If you have no love for Christ, if you see nothing lovely in the righteous and gracious Savior, if you see nothing good in Christ, Jesus says you've condemned yourself and shown yourself to be a lover of darkness and of evil rather than light. There is condemnation because there is affection for sin. But worse, they actively hate the light. Verse 20, everyone practicing evil hates the light. So there's not just an ignoring of the light. There's not just an ignoring of God's commandments, Ten Commandments or whatever, Golden Rule, Sermon on the Mount. There's not just an ignoring of these things. There's an animosity toward them. There's a desire to get rid of the light. For those that are Christians, this is hard to comprehend. It seems so self-destructive. I ran across a statement by Dr. Richard Lewontin. He was a molecular evolutionist. And he wrote something that I'll quote here in just a second, that is typical of many so-called scientists today, like Dawkins and Degrassi and Sagan and people like that. And you can read their writings. It's all over the internet. because they're very evangelistic about their hatred for God. This is what Dr. Luantin wrote. We take the side of science in spite of the patent absurdity of some of its constructs. Because we have a priori commitment, a commitment to materialism. Moreover, that materialism is absolute. For we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. They knowingly reject the truth and embrace the darkness. Regardless of the evidence, the light of God the Creator, he's going to believe in eternal matter rather than an eternal God. He loves the darkness. He hates the light. The light of Christ, of truth, is hated because Christ shows sinners for what they are. Jesus says their deeds are evil. The last thing that they want is to have their evil deeds revealed. So they want the concealing darkness. Your attitude toward Christ reveals the truth about yourself. Your hatred of light, it reveals the darkness of your own soul. Let me give you an historical example. Perhaps you have heard of St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre. It was August the 24th, 1572. And the political and religious leaders of France decided the enemy was Protestants, and they killed thousands of Protestants in Paris in the name of God. But they continued the carnage for 26 years. And as they tried to stamp out the light of the gospel and those that would hold to the truth and the light, they ultimately produced a secular France. And they produced the horrors of the French Revolution. And the French Revolution murdered Christians wholesale of every faith. And sinners still hate the light. The Christian West is increasingly rejecting the teaching of Scripture and the morality of Scripture, the Christian worldview, and embracing materialism and the darkness. And since Satan presents himself as an angel of light, those in darkness proclaim it as light. Wickedness and evil is proclaimed as good, loving. Prophet Isaiah condemned this. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. The rejection and mockery and persecution of Christianity should not surprise us. It's the world's attitude toward the light. It's been going on since Abel. If you are being salt and light in this decaying world, expect to be hated and rejected, just as your Lord was, for he was the perfect light. But why do sinners hate the light? Why do sinners hate the only thing that can free them? Jesus says it's because error hates truth. And the light exposes that error, that sin, which they love. Think of the drug addicts who love their drug more than life itself. I was talking with a deputy sheriff just this last week. She was talking about the horrors of fentanyl. how an officer can even inadvertently touch it and it can kill them. It is potent stuff, and yet our young people in particular are taking it. Amy Winehouse was a talented singer who won many awards, including 5 Grammy Awards. But she couldn't leave alcohol and drugs alone. She went to drug rehab to none effect. In fact, one of her famous songs, and it's really a catchy tune, is entitled Rehab. And her response in the song is no, no, no. She was drawn to the darkness. She loved it. And she died at the age of 28 of drug and alcohol poisoning. Paul says that the reason we love the darkness is that we are dead in trespasses and sins. The unbeliever is spiritually dead and alienated from God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those outside of Christ are in darkness, and they love it. They're swimming in the sewer, and they think it's paradise. And they don't want to get out. If at times they do want out, they do not want to pay the price. They do not want to give up their sins that they love. So in contrast, verse 21, Jesus says, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Those who are in Christ, who have believed on the Son, who walk in the light as he is in the light and produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 7:20. Jesus said, "Therefore, by their fruit, you will know them." So, think back to Galatians 5 that we read earlier. Paul lists the fruit of darkness, a rather long, despicable list of things he refers to as lusts of the flesh that bring condemnation and judgment. But then he lists some fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit of the Spirit that comes from walking in the light. It's the working of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, conforming us to the image and the likeness of our Savior. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're not perfect Christians. We're often charged with hypocrisy, justly so, because we fail to be perfect and sinless. But what Jesus is saying is that those who have been born from above, instead of seeking the darkness and loving sin, seek the light, desire obedience to God, even imperfectly. Years ago, I had a midweek speaking engagement in northern Montana, and a friend offered to fly me and Bobby and one of our sons in his plane. So it worked out, and we went up, and I spoke, and then late at night, we flew back. Well, my friend was not instrument rated. And I believe this was like in December. As we flew home in the dark, we flew into very heavy snow clouds. Soon we couldn't see the ground, we couldn't see the stars, we couldn't see the mountains that were all around us. And finally, he said, "We've got to turn around." We turned around and headed back north. It was pitch black. Occasional flashes, which were eerie, as the strobes on the plane flashed and were reflected by snowflakes in the clouds. And suddenly we hit a duck. Part of the duck knocked out part of the window, and part of it went in on the engine and started cooking. And we became very tense and very prayerful. And we continued on course, And then in the darkness, suddenly we saw the lights of Malta. And we were flooded with a sense of relief. And our spirits lifted. We altered course and we headed for the light. That is how it is with the believer. There is a hate for the darkness, and there's a desire and a longing for the light. We seek it, we want it, we head for it. Not perfectly, not always faithfully, but hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for truth, for light. The psalmist put it, Psalm 84:2, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's the heart of the believer. Longing for the light of God. This isn't to say that there aren't times we are attracted to sin. As Christians, we sin inadvertently, constantly. Sometimes we even sin willfully and rebelliously. We will not have complete victory over the darkness until eternity. But the true child of God loves the light and longs for it, desires to please the Savior, even as we confess our failures and our sin. Our attitude toward the light is shown by our lives. The world is filled with people who make a pretense of honoring and serving God, but who really love the darkness. And actually, they are serving themselves. The reality, Jesus says, is they do not love the light. And in complete disregard for God's word, they seek their own ends and pleasures and profit and flee the presence of the light and truth whenever it's near. And they prefer moral and spiritual darkness. I would encourage you not to condemn them, but to be concerned about them and love them and reach out to them with the gospel, the good news. True believers desire the light of God's presence. We struggle with sin and temptation, but we desire to obey God. We seek to bring our lives into conformity to the light, to love and to serve our Master, Jesus Christ, and to bring Him honor and praise in our lives, our words, our deeds, even our thoughts. Are you living your life in the light this morning? Or are you living your life in the darkness? Do you love the light? Or do you love the darkness? That is an eternal question with eternal significance. Heed Jesus' warning. This is the condemnation. Men loved darkness rather than light. Shall we pray? Father, we rejoice in a Savior who redeems us from the darkness. Thank you for a Savior who willingly died upon the cross that we might have life. Father, we pray that you would work in us more perfectly the reflection of the light of Jesus. That we might not be mere professors, but we might be those who possess Jesus the Christ. Work in us to that end, and to the glory of our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.